I loved radio from the get-go. I was a proper radio geek as a teenager. I did that thing that all radio people say they did. I made radio shows in my bedroom. I would record tapes of the top 40 and my own voice, which was awful. And I wanted to do the radio thing in whatever form anyone would let me. So I did, when I was 14 or 15, I had a community radio show. I'd rope my friends in to be the guest. One of my best friends was the weather girl. Why she did that, I will never understand. She was there every week with me. And I went into hospital radio. When I went to uni, I went to study English because I knew I wanted to do something in media. I wasn't sure if radio would, I'd get a shot. I did student radio and I got into audio by that point because I'd also managed to get a foot in the door at my local, what was then a GWR station, but it's now a Heart station. I'd managed to get myself some work experience, I think just pure persistence. And I was very lucky then they put me on the, what was the Heart? Oh no, at the time of the Black Thunders, became the Heart Angels. Now it doesn't really exist, but was an amazing entry into working in radio because we'd basically be a street team. We'd go out to events, we'd talk to people about radio. And as someone who loved radio, that was just, I could not believe I was being paid to go and chat to people about the thing that I loved. They'd give us these cool uniforms with the radio station all over it. I thought it was amazing. And I did that throughout my time studying and also worked at a student radio station, just making as much audio as I could.
So you were very much in front of the microphone, actually doing the speaky part of it. Is that so, rather than doing the production, or you were watching and learning and doing both, were you?
A bit of both. I really wanted to give it a shot, being in front of the mic. And I think that's also how a lot of people in radio or audio start, because it's the obvious place to start. As a, you know, someone outside of that world, it's what you see, isn't it? It's only when I really got into the radio station that I thought, this production thing, that looks cool. Like, and I would actually, I remember being on an internship, that work experience at what is now Heart in Swindon, Heart in Swindon. It turned into a longer term kind of internship. I was lucky the summer before I went to uni, I got 3 months there. And I would take my kind of lunch hour and just talk to different people around the radio station and say, like, what do you actually do? Because it was a mystery to me that we needed more than just a presenter in a radio station. But, you know, you need sales, you need creatives, you need producers, you need a whole team of people to bring that stuff together. Yes, then I saw the production side and I loved that. And I definitely did a lot of watching and learning in hospital radio, community radio. And then at the internship, I was lucky enough to shadow an audio producer for 3 months. And I will, you know, I'm indebted to Sean for life because he let me sit over his shoulder as a 18, 19 year old and just watch. And I fell in love with audio production. It was complete and utter chance. I was put in that element of the radio station for that 3 months. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I went off to uni knowing that that's the job that I wanted to do when I'd finished studying. So I feel very privileged that that was the case because I could put my time and energy into getting the experience that I needed because it was a competitive world.
So you came out of uni and at that point you wanted to go into a job and use your expertise at that point to work for someone. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say I always had an entrepreneurial streak. I always had a side hustle. I started after I was a Heart Angel. I started a kind of event staffing business on the side. I gave that a go. I started a photography business on the side. I did that for a while. So I've always had this kind of side hustle mentality. And I remember distinctly at one stage, I mean, for a number of years, actually, to get the money going to work in radio, I also worked in a bank as a cashier. And I'll never forget my boss saying, you know, you are not cut out for this life. Like this, I mean, I think she actually said something like, you're the world's worst employee. Like you're meant to be an employer. Like this is not, you know, and I think it was the flexibility element of it because I, you know, the job was the job, fine. But really I wanted to manage my own time. I wanted that element of, that's the bit that does fire me up even now. And I think that was there from the get-go.
That's such a familiar thread that we have that pattern where we're either always looking for a side hustle. We love starting something new. We're very creative. We're able to sort of make money doing our own thing. I love that part of being self-employed. And I meet so many self-employed business owners that have that same story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, possibly I fought that element of my personality for a significant amount of time. And I was genuinely passionate about working in a radio station, regardless of whether that meant, you know, working for myself or not. There were a lot of freelance jobs, and to begin with, I did work on a freelance basis. But I think ultimately, I really did want this specific job in London, in the head office, where everything was happening, an audio producer with my own studio. So that was the goal. And I think I probably put the self-employment side of things to one side for a certain amount of time. But it's definitely always been a streak in my personality. And I negotiated some working from home. I negotiated working from different offices because I wanted that change, that flexibility, I guess, that is now actually bizarrely much more a possibility since COVID, but it wasn't back then. It was unusual back then. So I ended up in London working for Heart. That's how it happened, really.
So what was the trigger that brought you to the point where you thought, gosh, I want to open my own Pineapple Audio production. I'm going to move from this lovely job that I've got at Heart, which are where you were obviously incredibly successful. What was it that was going on that made you do that transition?
Well, probably to some extent, you can only fight the kind of self-employed element of yourself for so long, right? You know, I had the dream job. For me, it was the dream job. I had an amazing team. I had an amazing supportive boss. I had all the glitzy, glamorous events to go to. It was fab. But probably nothing kind of squashed that feeling of I really want some more freedom in my life. And I was, again, I would consider myself very fortunate, right place, right time. Podcasts were growing again. You know, they've been around for a long time, but they were in this first initial stage of growth that they're still in. And people started coming to me. I had a little mini studio booth at Heart. And they would come to me and say, hey, can you just edit this podcast? And I remember being like, which is very much my attitude and kind of still is. But I don't really know what that is, but yeah, let's give it a go because it's something different. And I did. And it rolled into, more and more freelance work initially within that same business. And I just became more and more fascinated by it. And I realized there was something in this and that I could possibly find clients outside of that world. And, you know, I kind of grew from there, really. I spent a couple of years building it up on the side and worked a lot of evenings and all my weekends. And how I did it now, I can't really tell you because I really would work a full day, go and work creating a podcast somewhere and then always go off to some sort of event in London. I was working and playing and all that stuff. It was great. And eventually
it's like a moonlighting period, isn't it? Where you're sort of doing your full-time job and you're getting your side hustle up and running. And then you're starting to have to balance and thinking, gosh, the side hustle is actually overtaking my full-time job. And by that point, you're needing to balance out and see what the income is against each one to actually think, gosh, is it safe now? Can I shelve that full-time job to move into that new space of your own? Is that sort of a little bit similar to your journey?
Yeah. And I remember that. That was a scary moment. I remember being at that stage and thinking, right, I cannot physically do this anymore. I can't fit in my social life, my day job, and the work that I, you know, was then super and still am super passionate about. It's really exciting and it always has been to go out and find clients and create things for people.
But it's like a tipping point, isn't it? It's like a tipping point where you realize you can't carry on doing almost two full-time jobs plus fit in your own life, you know, your own life and your own social events. And you think, gosh, something's got to give. Is it that moment that I'm actually going to say goodbye to employed life? Because I think once you become self-employed, you never go back, very rarely, do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, 4 years and counting, we'll see. I can't imagine it, but we'll see. I remember the moment and it was terrifying because I definitely counted Heart as sort of a family feel. It was somewhere I'd been for a very long time. I was very comfortable even having it as, you know, as it was my safety net. And
And it's a security blanket, isn't it? And you do feel, you know, you've got that regular income, you know all the people, it feels you could do the job or the work with your eyes closed. And giving all of that up is a huge step for a lot of people to actually go into that more unknown, even if you've got your side hustle up and running pretty well, because the transition period where you're doing both is one thing, but actually saying goodbye to that security blanket is quite another matter.
It's a complete and utter, for me, it was a complete and utter lifestyle change. But it was something that I had wanted for a long time. And at that point, I remember being terrified, but ready to give it a shot and thinking, right, well, if it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen. So let's just jump in. And, you know, I was at a stage in my life where I really had no responsibilities. And I thought, this is it. You know, I can do this now. So I did.